Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. We are here. Let's go.
For their purchase. We surely appreciate it. What you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this?
Okay, Sports City, I got it from here. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 90 minutes or so in Sports City. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you are here with the chefs. I'm feeling some type of way, Sports City, because now we are in the year of 2021. I mean, we had some crazy stuff going on in the world today during this week, but at least we got sports, at least something that could somehow unify us, especially on a Sunday where – you know, everybody has their feel for their team and hoping that their team could pull out a win, so on and so forth. But as of this weekend, we had at least a few NFL playoff games go by on Saturday and a lot of interesting news in other sport venues as it is. And I can't wait to get into a lot of this. Hopefully I could try and bunch the games that took place yesterday in the NFL playoff or postseason situation and group them with today's three games that are taking place. There's a 1 o'clock or 4 o'clock, and I think the last late-night game is at 7 or 8:15. Excuse me, I'm looking at the schedule now. So we have a 1:05 start, a 4:40 start, and an 8:15 start, in which you'll be getting mine and, you know, whoever falls in line here in the kitchen, full perspective on what's going to go down today for the remaining games. Interesting enough, I'm going to start, you know, all across the board. And before I go into the NFL, I want to feed the NFL off first because that's the meat and potatoes, especially for the last couple of Sundays. And it's bad that we are here at the month of January and looking at this season come to an end, even though everything that we went through throughout the year of 2020, looking at the scenario of how the NFL playoffs are panning out now, Super Bowl should be here at the beginning of February, and then we're on our summer break, if you will, for football until the summertime, or at least July, August, when we start to get our fill of things. And, you know, a lot of people, especially some people here in Sports City, they look forward to the NFL draft. And to me, I mean, I get hyped to see players go to a team, but I don't get as hyped as everybody else gets hyped about the draft. It's like they didn't score a touchdown. They didn't get an interception. They didn't sack the quarterback three or four times in a game. That didn't happen. So, you know, just to see your team get fueled up with more rookies and hopefully they pan out to be stars, superstars, so on and so forth. Okay, so first and foremost, Sports City, I'm going to start out in the NBA, right? Because we've seen history, or if you were paying attention or if you were under a rock, however it may have been going down, but history was made yesterday. LaMelo Ball, that's right, one of the Ball brothers, the youngest, the rookie, made NBA history being the youngest player to ever put up a triple-double. Now, mind you, the game before, he played his brother in the New Orleans Pelicans, and he was one assist shy of a triple-double. And this, crazy enough, Sports City, like, I want to give him his flowers, his due, so on and so forth. He is doing this off the bench. The last game that they played against the Pelicans, he was assist shy off the bench with a near triple-double in this game right here that he had against the Atlanta Hawks in a win, mind you. Mind you that he won. He put up a triple-double against Atlanta Hawks, Trae Young and company. I forget how it goes. I know he's 19 years old, and Markelle Fultz did it a few years back, being the youngest. You know, you got Luka Doncic on his list. You got LeBron as well. But for him to do it, and all of the credit that he's getting around the league, and the way that he's making shots, he's getting people involved. Charlotte, I think he should start. But they're guard heavy. There's a lot of guards there. But I wonder what they're going to do with, like, Rozier or Graham, however this may work out. But LaMelo Ball, he's already played internationally, and you know a lot of those players that play internationally, they come into the league. If they're fearless, they are something to watch out for. Like, I still remember when Tony Parker hit the ground running or Manu Ginobili hit the ground running. I really don't want to give too much credit to Dirk when Dirk got to Dallas, but he finally made his way, and then Dirk became incredible. And, you know, Luka's a part of the international game as well, too, and Luka's off and running right now, too. But for LaMelo to have, you know, played ball here in America first and then carrying his talents as young as 17, 18, going overseas and getting a year of that under his wing and playing against men, coming into the NBA and doing his thing right now. And this is the early portion of the season. This is the early portion of the season. He was an assist away from having a triple-double the other day, and he already got one so far. I wonder if this continues throughout the remainder of the season, if this actually helps Charlotte be a contender to be in the Eastern Conference playoffs. I'm not saying a contender to be an NBA final or Eastern Conference final. I'm not doing that. But just to be 1-8, I give him credit to actually give this team a doggone lift in the Eastern Conference, even though it's not that hard to make seed 6, 7, and 8. Because, you know, 6, 7, and 8 are always be those teams that are, you know, 2, 3, 4 games under 500, but they did enough to get into the playoffs. I think Charlotte is a team that can do it if they stay consistent. Rozier has confidence. LaMelo Ball has confidence. They have some young players in the core that can get it done. You know, looking at the bench that's around him, especially with P.J. Washington and Bridges, like these guys are a team that you got to worry about in the Eastern Conference. You just can't slight them. They're doing what they can do, sitting at 500, 5-5 behind the Orlando Magic by a game. Charlotte is in this race. Well, it's the early portion of the season. I can't even say a race, but they're sea level. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't really look past it. Gordon Hayward making a move down there is big, knowing that he's been through a lot, especially playing with Utah and also playing with Boston as well. They have a shot blocker in Bismack Biyombo. But like I said, like, it's Bridges. There's, you know, depending on what day they have, but Washington is a starter. Caleb Martin is definitely an impact player too. So they have players there that can get stuff done. They have Zeller that should be coming back soon. He's out due to injury. But I definitely have to give him his credit right there. The ongoing story of, you know, the Harden situation, him getting moved, or, you know, every other player feeling some type of way, whether it's Kyrie in the media. At least this is a bright note in the NBA. I had to get this one out the way. Another situation that took place in the NBA, the Denver Nuggets on the road go into Philadelphia and beat the Sixers. Now, this is crazy because the Sixers are a very good team at home, and I know it's different because of you know, the COVID-19 situation and, you know, fans not being there to cheer this team on and teams getting a lift, so on and so forth. But the Denver Nuggets were struggling themselves in this season. They were sitting at 3-5, won this game in Philadelphia by double digits, 115-103. In a losing effort, Tyrese Maxey, the rookie out of Kentucky, put up 39 points up against Denver. And this is making me question both. But, I mean, Philly's off to a good start, though. Philly was up 7-2. They were undefeated at home. This is their first loss at home. The Nuggets were 3-5. Like I said, they're now 4-5. They're still under 500. Jokic was a rebound away from a triple-double. The question about the 76ers is, are they for real? Like, they win their games off of shock value, like, especially being at home, they're virtually unstoppable. But to lose to a Nugget team that was struggling, but knowing the Nuggets were going to bring their A game, Philly had to know that. But here goes the icing on the cake. Glenn, Doc, Rivers. This is the same team that beat you in the playoffs with the Los Angeles Clippers. They have your number. Or you have to prove to them that you can stop the Nuggets. Or if you can't stop the Nuggets, there's going to be a lot of Western Conference teams that are going to play Philadelphia and try to have their way. And it doesn't matter if Embiid is a monster in the paint and can make shots on the outside. And, you know, they do have a good handful of shooters, even though Seth Curry is out with the COVID-19 situation. So this may hurt them, you know, without one of their shooters. But Philly should, you know, they should be able to win these type of games, especially in a meaningful game, and it's an impact game. So I do have to tip my hat to the Nuggets to be able to go into Philadelphia and steal this game from the Sixers. The Sixers should be ready, but I question their success up against stronger teams in the NBA because they win the games that they're supposed to win. I do have to give the Sixers that. But Doc Rivers, how we look at this, this is an ongoing thing right now with you and the Denver Nuggets. They do have your number at the end of the day, and it sucks to see this happen to you. People are going to note that. Another game quickly that I want to get out there. The Timberwolves get Karl Anthony Towns back. Cat got back from, you know, his injury situation, and they still lose. They're on a losing streak of 7 games. Now, I feel bad because Ryan Saunders, it's a whole somber situation out here in Minnesota, but, you know, Karl Anthony Towns lost his mom to the COVID-19 situation. He's been, you know, stressed and having his way on him. He suffered an injury to his hand wrist area the other day. And Ryan Saunders, you know, we all felt a certain way about him because of his father, Flip Saunders, passing away a few years ago. And this is bad because he's not successful with this team. And this is something I was looking at when they hired him. He doesn't really have a proven resume to be a head coach, but he was doing just enough to keep this team afloat. Now it's like they're almost exposed to the league to take advantage of, you know, certain situations, whether it's going inside and taking care of business while Cat is out, or if Cat gets the foul trouble to attack him, because they don't really slow the ball down while it's in the paint. And they're getting beat outside with jump shooting as well. DeMar DeRozan went off for 38 points. And this was in Minnesota, even though the crowd is not affected, but still yet he was away from home and was able to do his job. And the Spurs are now sitting at 5-4 on the season, in which the Spurs are winning a lot of games on the road. They can't win at home. So I'm up and down about this Spurs team, but the Timberwolves and their losing continues. And this is the reason why I was attacking it, is because of, you know, Ryan Saunders is almost every game, I don't want to say an excuse, but he has something to say, which, of course, he's going to have to be able to address the media. But if he can't turn this around, they're 2-7. They're 1-3 at home. They have to look into, you know, how the future is going to be with the young talent that they do have. I don't say the Wolves are a team that's going to get into the Western Conference playoffs, but they have to compete, especially being a Western Conference team. They have to win games. They're 1-3 at home. That means they're 1-4 on the road. They're not doing good at all. They're not playing good basketball. So I feel bad for Ryan Saunders, to say the least, in a successful manner, or not. This is unsuccessful, to say the least. Let me say that the right way. Another game that we have in the NBA are the Portland Trail Blazers taking on the Sacramento Kings, in which the Blazers won this game by 26 points. C.J. McCollum went off for 37 points in this game. And this is interesting about looking at the Blazers, right, because, I mean, of course, if you're following these guys for the duration of their careers, I was watching CJ while he was at Lehigh, and that game that he went off against Duke, I've never stopped watching him since. And Damian Lillard is their trigger man slash point guard. And it's like, to have a trigger man beside him like CJ McCollum, if you're off Dame, this is something that you should do, is be able to look to CJ to try and carry you, because he is the trigger man and the shooter. And he damn near had 40 up against the Kings. So this is something that they have to build off of. The Blazers are 5-4 in the season, sitting in a comfortable scenario. And Carmelo had 13 points on the game, 4-for-6 from the free throw line, 4-for-12 from the field with 1-3 hit. They did enough to knock off Sacramento at home in a losing effort. Nobody really showed up big for Sacramento. Bagley had 15. De'Aaron Fox had 10. They slowed him down heavily, 3-of-9 shooting. He only played 25 minutes, though. I want to know what happened right there. Buddy Hield, and this is something interesting to watch about Buddy Hield. He was 3-for-10 from the field. He was 2-of-8 from 3. That's a bad shooting day for Buddy Hield. He went quiet in another game, too, this week. And it's like, where are you going? Because you are a guy that can hit game winners, so on and so forth. And I wonder if it's something on his mind, if it is the month of January that's getting to him, because this is a heavy month for all of us in basketball, because we're just 1 year removed of what happened tragically toward the end of this month. And I know this is something that Buddy Hield looks toward, because he wears a certain number. Glenn Robinson III had 11 points, and Hassan Whiteside had 11 as well. In a losing effort, the Sacramento Kings are 4-6 on the season, 3-3 at home, playing good ball, being 500 at home, but this is a loss that they lost heavily. They damn near lost by 30. They got blown out. Portland situation. Portland is going to be a mainstay. I think they are one of the top eight teams in the Western Conference. I think they will make the playoffs, but they're hit or miss. They are hit or miss. So I hope that the consistency comes, especially up against the better teams. But from what I've seen, you know, in games where they play the tougher teams, they fall asleep. We have another game with the Miami Heat going up against the Washington Wizards. The Wizards lose this game by 4 points, in which Russell Westbrook did not play due to a sore quad. Bradley Beal was out as well for safety protocol reasons, so they had to go to war without their all-star/superstar, however you want to look at that. But they did keep this close in losing by four at home up against the Miami Heat team, who are 4-4 on the season, playing 500 ball, in which Jimmy Butler had 26 points. Tyler Harrell went off for 31, in which Tyler Harrell only went 1-for-5 for 3, so a lot of his damage was done underneath the perimeter, and 6-for-8 shooting from the free throw line. So I think it was a tandem of Harrell and Butler doing what they needed to do to get this win. Kelly Olynyk had 18 points in the win as well, just to hold his Washington Wizards team off. And shout out to one of my friends, or my little brother, if you will, that I had to wake him up, I want to say about a decade ago, decade and some change, and he is a big Laker fan, and once Kobe left, it was like he didn't really like the Lakers no more because he was young. He was in his, like, early teens, if not before his teens. And after Kobe left, he came to the Thunder with me and became a big Russell Westbrook fan. And once Russ left the Thunder for the Rockets, I'm like, the way that he's leaving is not right. And then next thing you know, it didn't work out in a year, and then he ends up going to Washington. And then my friend is like, well, I'm following Russ everywhere he go. I'm a Russell Westbrook fan. I'm like, it's not going to pan out in Washington. He's telling me it is, and now that it isn't, it's like, well, what now? And he's like, it's the team. Once the team gets their, you know, camaraderie and the consistency follows, he thinks that the Wizards will get there. I don't think they're a playoff team. I think Russ will be more frustrated missing the playoffs, knowing that you're hearing rumblings of people not, you know, happy with what's going on with the Wizards, but they were able to beat the Nets. So that is a big win on their two-win season as of this point. But for them to lose this game to the Heat, I definitely think the Heat would have won this game anyway, regardless if Westbrook and Beal played it, even though it was a four-point difference. You know, scoring would have went differently if these guys were on the floor. And I think the Wizards had to make do with what they had within the roster to go to war up against the Heat. So shout-out to Miami to take care of business up against the Wizards while they were down a few men. So I don't know what Scott Brooks is going to be able to do to try and heal the mend, if you will, for the Washington Wizards. But this is a bad scenario with Beal being out, Russ being out, and them trying to fight a war up against the Eastern Conference players or Eastern Conference teams that are trying to push to be in a good position as we get closer to the All-Star break. Because just think, it's January. February is coming around, even though I know it probably won't be an All-Star game or break, but knowing that they consider that the halfway point, I wonder how they're going to look at this moving forward. Okay, we have another game here with the Phoenix Suns taking care of business in Indiana. The Suns win this game 125-117, in which this was an interesting one and a notable losing effort. Domantas Sabonis went off for 28 points and 22 rebounds. And the way Sabonis, to me, looks in this game, he looks similar to Nikola Vukovic, where Vukovic will have these 30-20 games and they'll lose down there in Orlando, but Orlando's actually playing decent ball this season. Mikal Bridges went off for 34 points in this game in a winning effort with the Phoenix Suns. The Suns are 7-3. If Chris Paul really made this instant impact to this young team, this is great. Chris Paul had 15 points, 10 assists, a double-double. Got to give him credit for that. And also you have Booker who had 25 points scoring also. 6-for-6 from the free throw line. He didn't really hit that much from three. He was 1-for-5. He hit 1-3. But this was a total team effort. Cam Johnson had 16. They also had 10 from Carter off the bench. And Jay Crowder and company, he had 10. I'm surprised at what Ayton was able to do. Ayton only had 8 points in this winning effort. But, I'm giving the Suns credit for the instant impact they're able to do away from home. They're 4-2, sitting there up against a Pacers team who's 6-3, and I think will definitely be a competitor. I don't want to say contender, but more or less, I've been saying a lot of that contender stuff. I got to remove that. But being one of the teams that will be able to compete 1-8 in the Eastern Conference, I think the Pacers will be that. In a losing effort, they had I remember seeing a play was I think Oladipo went in there for a dunk. It was a crazy one. Oladipo had 16. Malcolm Brogdon had 22. Like I said, Sabonis had 28 as well. And then you had Doug McDermott give you 12 off the bench, as well as one of the Holiday brothers had 17 off the bench also. The Pacers are playing good. I can't take away from what they're doing right now. All three of their losses came at home. They're unbeaten on the road, even though they only played 2 games on the road. But this is a Western Conference team traveling to an Eastern Conference gym. And for them to go in there and almost win by 10 points is a statement game, because this was the Suns that a lot of people pushed over. They played well at the end of the season in the bubble, and now it's spilling into this season. I think the Suns will potentially compete to get into the top 8 of the Western Conference. I think they will end up being one of those teams that we mentioned as being a playoff team moving into the month of April, May, June, as the playoffs begin to start around that time. Now I'm going to get into one game, and then I'm going to spill into a lot more other things, including the how I feel about the national championship and how that may go down, and then the NFL, and get to the game that took place yesterday and the scores of yesterday, as well as my picks predictions for the week with today for the games that are taking place, even though it's 3 games, so it's going to be quite short. I already talked about the Hornets game with LaMelo giving out a triple-double, the Heat game. I really don't want to get in-depth about the Cavaliers-Bucks, even though the Bucks are up and down. They lost a real bad game the other day up against the Jazz. The Jazz came into Wisconsin and took care of business. I can talk about the Magic and the Mavericks. The crazy part about this game was, like I just said, the Magic are sitting at first place within their division. The Mavericks, you don't really know where they are, but I think they'll be at full strength once they get Porzingis back. But Tim Hardaway Jr. went crazy. He had 36 points, 5 rebounds, in which he was hitting 3 after 3. They could not slow him down. Luka was making it easy for him because, the penetration and, the attention that he draws from these defenses is definitely going to open things up for Tim Hardaway Jr. And it's funny saying Tim Hardaway because I can only think about his father, but I have to think about his son now. Like I said, Nikolai Vukovic, 30-15 game. It's a constant. And he has pieces in Orlando. I can't even talk junk like there's nobody around him. They have Aaron Gordon. They lost the guard Fultz as well, because Fultz ended up tearing his ACL. But now they have Cole Anthony, the rookie out of North Carolina. You also have Ennis, the small forward that just came from the Heat as well. He's been there for a little bit. He had 4 points in a losing effort. He didn't really score. The Magic definitely got bruised in this one, lost by 14. I'm going to look at their stats quickly for Dallas. Doncic had 20, 11 rebounds and 10 assists for a triple-double. Tim Hardaway, he hit 8 threes in this game as well in a 36-point effort winning this game. And like I said, they'll be more dangerous once they get Porzingis back on his roster. I want to see what they look like at full strength. 29 points from Trey Burke. Trey Burke went off. And 12 from Johnson also. Dwight Powell had 4. You got 6 from Will Cauley-Stein. And this, once they put it together, I think Dallas would be a team to worry about. I don't know if Luka is still the favorite to be a MVP, but they had him there at the beginning of the season. I think there's some names right now that are bubble a little hotter than what he's able to do at this point in time. But I'm just doing this quickly to get away from the NBA and get into other things. I'll wrap that up. That's everything from the NBA. And looking at the Eastern Conference, Philly is atop the conference right now, tied with Boston. And Charlotte is in the eighth seed right now. And funny enough, the Brooklyn Nets are tied with them, but they have them ninth. It must be due to the tiebreaker with them beating them. Cleveland also is 5-5. I don't think Cleveland will remain there, but they're playing interesting ball also. In the Western Conference, Phoenix and the Lakers are tied at 7-3. The Clippers are 6-4. Oh my goodness! And I want to talk about them too. I'm gonna get to that. Utah's 5-4. The Warriors are 5-4. Shout out to Steph Curry. I was talking a lot of jungle a little while ago. Now Steph Curry's on a four alarm blaze. This guy's going off. He just won Western Conference Player of the Week. 62-point effort the other day. He put up 38 points. Now, this is what I want to talk about with the Los Angeles Clippers. Before I get away from the basketball situation, the Clippers, I don't know what to say. I'm flabbergasted on the way you guys have been playing this year. They win a game on opening night against the Los Angeles Lakers while on ring ceremony night. Interesting enough. Lose a game here, win a game there, lose a game there. There's no consistency there. They are up in a game against the Golden State Warriors, in which Klay Thompson is not on this team. I know they got Draymond back, but they're down. They're wounded, right? 22 points with 3 minutes on the clock in the third quarter. Steph damn near erased that lead by himself and leaving like a one-minute timing on the third quarter. Like a lot of that was gone before the fourth quarter started. The fourth quarter came and it was just like it was over. The momentum had fully swung in favor of the Golden State Warriors. I am questioning what is really going on with this Clipper team, in which, like I said previously, this is a scenario that Kawhi Leonard said that he will end up leaving if they do not get to an NBA final or win a final. I'm not sure if it's win or get to the NBA final, because I've seen this story happen. I really think it's more or less if they win the NBA final, that's if he'll stay. But if they lose and they get to the NBA Finals, he's done it before. He won an NBA Final with Toronto and left. And I know he wants to be a Clipper because he's from the Cali region, grew up a fan in that area also. But they need some explaining to do. They got rid of Doc Rivers. They try to pin it to him. They still have their woes defensively. They don't really score the ball. Like, there's lulls where they fall asleep. And there's a lot of hitters on that team. I can't really say that these guys, you know, aren't scorers, because you got Kawhi that can score the ball, you got Paul George that can score the ball, you got Lou Williams that can score the ball. I wonder the true identity of the Los Angeles Clippers. I am not impressed the way that they're out the gate, and if they continue to lose, I wonder what happens with Kawhi Leonard and company with all of the picks and things that they gave up to get Paul George to come there. This will be very shocking, to say the least. But So, looking at the Western Conference, it's always a logjam from 1-9. I feel bad at the bottom of the situation because Ja Morant is injured with the Grizzlies. Once he comes back, hopefully they get their bounce back. The Rockets are 3-4. The Nuggets, I definitely think, will pick this thing up. And the Pelicans are sitting at 10. The Thunder are sitting at 9. Shocking me. I didn't think the Thunder would be playing 500 ball. But I'm not going to get my hopes up too high, because I know once the big boys start coming around the Western Conference, they'll take their lumps. But I'm shocked that they're close to sniffing the playoffs. If they could win their next game today, and it's a tough one because it's right here, out here in my backyard, out here in Brooklyn, up against the Nets, they could be above 500. They can be above 500. But we'll see how this does go down, to say the least, especially in the Western Conference. This is like the Infinity War with Thanos and everybody out there. Okay. So, as you know, tomorrow is the national championship between the Ohio State Buckeyes visiting the Alabama Crimson Tide, in which a lot of people are feeling a certain way about this game, saying Ohio State shouldn't be in the playoffs. They only played six games before the games they won last week, up against Clemson, Alabama being 12-0. Justin Fields being injured, but he's going to play. Like, I don't think he would miss this thing for the world. He's going to have to give it everything that he can, to say the least. But I am definitely I'm definitely ready to see this game go down. I think Ohio State may have an adrenaline edge in this game, but Alabama is like that machine that continues to work no matter what, as long as, you know, the battery's in its back and oiled up, ready to go. Like, it's going to be tough to stop that Crimson Tide, but I think Ohio State has the offense to actually do it. Like something's odd about this, especially with the way that the line is set up. Because to be interested enough, I think Nick Saban should send the dogs after Justin Fields as best as possible. I would not let him have a comfortable game. There's no way that he's going to sit back there and have it easy, even though he's a guy that can take off and pick up yards with his feet. But he's already showed that he's wounded in the past game that just went by a few days ago. And I would expect for Saban to send the package after him and, you know, try to get him on the ground a couple of times so then he becomes erratic and the game becomes easier for the Crimson Tide. But like I said, Ohio State is visiting Alabama, interesting enough that they are at this point in time in the season for a national championship after everything that we were able to see. But a lot of people are mad that they are there because they've only played really six games before the playoff started. They played their seventh game and won that one against Clemson and catching Clemson kind of vulnerable. If you ask me, I'm going to say it like this. I'm going to pick this one. I'm going to pick now. I'm going to say Alabama, right? But it's just something funny about this game that I will not be shocked if Ohio State wins this game. I will not be shocked if they win this game. Because you got to know, everybody in the world knows this field's hurt. The spread favors Alabama. The national poll favors them by 62%. I'm looking for the line now. The line is favoring Alabama at 8.5. The over-under is sitting at 75.5. This is telling me something. This is going to be a shootout. I'm going with Alabama. I'm going with Alabama to win this game, but like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if Ohio State won this game. I feel like this is going to be a fun one, a barn burner, and interesting. Look at this. Ohio State averages 43 points a game. Alabama averages 48 points a game. This is damn near a 90-point total. You're over understanding that 75.5, and I know these defenses won't show up like that, but the best part about this is you don't know what Ryan Day has planned for Nick Saban. You already know what Nick Saban's coming out with. The only thing that could slow Alabama down is injuries. If Alabama gets injured, then it makes the game interesting. And I don't want to see nobody get injured. I'm not asking or wishing for it. Lord, forgive me if I'm saying the wrong thing. I want to see an even played game. I don't want injury to be a part of it, even though it is already an injury that's a big concern. Fields nursing an injury from the previous game up against Clemson. And that's why I said if I were Nick Saban, I would love to have them, you know, force the issue of trying to get after him. So we do have this thing jumping. I have the villain in the building. Barry, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling this morning?
Happy Sunday. Villain is in the house. Wear a mask to cover the raw flesh. A rather ugly brother with flows of gorgeous. How you doing, brother?
He did, and it, look, he came in here trying to spit, right? So, okay, so Sports City, I'm going to tell you like this, right? Now, if we go back to the end of time, right, because it's always good versus evil and, you know, brothers and so on and so forth, and every time Big Larry and Ronnie got together, it was all laughs, and then Barry and Ty would come and join the laughs, and we'd be laughing, right? But this dude has been in my life for damn near 30 years, right? And this dude just turned 40, y'all. So happy 40. Birthday shout out! Happy birthday shout out to the villain. I got to give him credit for making it this far. You know what I'm saying? When or not? Yes. I don't know if that's far. Like, because people say you're young when you say you're young.
You're young.
And then you start thinking about when you were young. You're like, man, I'm old. You know, you don't want to say it. And you're like, you gotta look as good as you feel. So with him being 40 years old in the building, I'm gonna let him rock. I'll do what he do. So how's life at 40 right now?
I mean, listen, I'm blessed, man. I was like kind of dreading it, like, oh my god, I'm gonna be 40 in a day or two, whatever. And first of all, shout out to my twin brother. Obviously we both 40 on the same day, obviously. But
happy birthday, Gary.
absolutely. And happy birthday, Jordan. He doesn't like to be called by his governor.
I didn't know. I'm sorry.
No, it's all good. Okay. It's all good. Like, listen, it's one of those things, like, you know, we used to call each other Mr. Powell, Mr. Jordan, or Mr. Berger, or Mr. May, like, you know, call each other by our last name, and he just took it to the next level. Like, nobody calls him by his first name.
Okay. I'm learning this as of right now. I'm learning this as of right now. It's brand new to
absolutely.
Me. Okay.
So, I mean, you know him, like, literally, like, if you call him by his first name, he will never answer you again. So, like,
really?
That's just him.
Really?
That's just him. Yeah, absolutely. So, but I mean, listen, I'm just so thankful. I mean, everything that we've gone through this crazy year with my health and everything, getting to where I'm at now, and, you know, looking back and reflecting with my father and, you know, and his health is, you know, it's just like, I'm just thankful, man. I'm just thankful. And I'm glad to make it another year. And you know, we got a long life to live. We got a lot to do. And, you know, this is going to be a fun year, TP. We got plans. We got things to do. But I just can't wait. You know what I mean?
Okay, we're here we are. I'm going to ask you a few questions before I get into the national championship situation, because that's where I was. How do you feel
about...
Yeah,
I wanted to talk about that, too.
I'll let you jump right in, grab your plate, and you can fill your plate. Where do you want to start at?
Well, I mean, I'll let you ask me questions, but since you were talking about Ohio State, Alabama, I mean, honestly, we're obviously looking for a shootout just because... You know, I think both defenses are lacking, especially Alabama. This is probably one of the poorest Alabama defenses that we've probably seen in the last, like, I would say 8 years at least or something like that. Like, you know, we've always seen them have studs and athletes on the defensive side, but, like, they can't stop really anybody. So it's really going to be I think early you're going to see defenses make plays, and then the offense is kind of quick later in the game. But it could be the opposite. Who knows? But it's going to come down to these two defenses. Who's going to get the stop when it's crucial? Who's going to get off of the field on third down? Who's going to make the play? Who's going to make the tackle? I mean, because both of these offenses, like you said, TP, can score. I mean, this Alabama offense is just unmatched. I mean, Harris, I mean, how he's not a Heisman Trophy winner, I don't know, but
right.
I mean, they got
what?
Heisman Trophy winners all over that offense and Jones.
Wait, hold on. Did Najee Harris not even, like, get overlooked, right? Like, he's not even in the voting, and this is a monster. He's a monster at the running back position, right? Matt Jones at the quarterback position is literally overlooked. Like, they're looking at more or less Kyle Trask and Trevor Lawrence. Like, Trevor Lawrence is probably the only quarterback I'm giving, like, the leg up or neck to neck with Mac. Like, Mac is a quarterback that you got to consider, and Devontae is the receiver outside you got to worry about, and they're doing all of this damage without one of their best receivers, with Waddle getting hurt for the season. Picture if Waddle was there.
Yeah.
This would be a – people would cry trying to play Alabama. Like, it'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't mean to cut you off.
I mean, I've seen some good college offenses in my time, but I've never seen athletes like this at each position that really puts fear in your heart like this. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, Waddle, I watched that game when he got hurt, and I think we messaged not too long after, and it was heartbreaking to see him get hurt like that.
Mm-hmm.
But then to see him go down, but then they don't miss a beat. Like, if anything, that kind of helped elevate you know, Smith, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's crazy. Like, this team is scary good. And offensively, it's going to take a lot to stop them. Ohio State has the athletes, but I don't know, man. It's like I said, who gets off the field on third down? Who makes the critical tackle or who makes the play to get the turnover? Because maybe you don't get off the field at third down. Maybe you got to, you know, stop them in the red zone. Maybe you got to get that fumble or interception or something that, you know, that game tied changer, you know. Like, maybe it comes down to that. But whoever does that is going to win this game, because I think both offenses can do whatever they want. I mean, the Ohio State running game is just as good, if not better, than Alabama's.
No.
You don't think
no.
so?
We just screamed about Najee Harris as a monster. Sermon and those boys are just as good as Najee. Najee's averaging five yards a clip.
I mean, we talked about Harris is a first round pick. If the Steelers into the first round and pass on him, everybody needs to be fired. But I mean, Ohio State can run the ball.
Oh my goodness. Man, I'm not saying they can't run the ball. Okay, I'm looking at their rushing. You're right, actually. As a team, Ohio State outrushes them by damn near 100 yards a game. Wow.
Yeah.
I'm looking at that.
But we're also talking about Alabama.
I guess you're looking at it by committee then? Justin Fields is a runner too? Okay. Then I got you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying that the running back. What's the? I can't even remember the kid's name, but
Sherman is their running back.
I'm not saying Sherman's better than
Najee Harris.
And that championship game against Northwestern may have inflated the numbers a little bit, because he ran for like almost 300 freaking yards. But I mean, they do run the ball
Big
well.
Big Ten's terrible. The Big Ten is terrible. of course.
I gotta give them props though. They did come out in some of those bowl games, and they did show a little bit of grit. But I mean, as a whole, I think the Big Ten is not in the same class as the SEC. Maybe not the ACC as well. So, but that's what I mean. Like, listen, they can run the ball. Alabama's just way more balanced. I think that Alabama is probably the better running team, but they throw it so much better that. You know, it's hard not to look. It's like kids in a candy store. You know, you have this toy. You want to play with it. You got a good quarterback. You got good receivers. Why not throw the ball? You know what I mean? So, but it's going to be a good game. I think it's going to be. I like Alabama in the game, but I wouldn't be shocked if, you know, Ohio State pulls the upset, because they do that. They do come to the championship game ready to play, and they can upset you, right? Because they are a good football team. So. It's gonna be fun, though. It's gonna be fun.
Right. That's what scares me, because I'm okay. So before you got here, or you probably did hear me say it, I favor Alabama, right? But
right.
I think Ohio
right.
State can pull this off, because Ohio State has that shock value, and you know my favorite place to go in December. Where do I love to go? You know, they pull so many strings, right? You know, they know what to do to people, right? So it's like everybody's probably pushing it, and I want to see how the money looks. In Vegas, you know what I'm saying? Like, because the money line is 310 in favor of, and that's something to do. It's 310 in favor of Alabama. It's plus 255. So if you put 100 on Ohio State, you would get an extra $255 out of this if Ohio State pulled that thing off. And that's like, I'm scratching my head. Right. I know. We might have to talk after the show. But we do have somebody here. We do got somebody in the building right now. We have Aaron Simmons in the building. Aaron, good morning. How are you feeling this morning?
You know, I was feeling good until I stepped in the kitchen and heard this blasphemy coming across my screen, my vehicle. How dare you, cornball, disrespect the Big Ten like that? And have the audacity to say the SEC? Are you outside of your gosh darn mind? Kidding me right now?
Hold on. Really? Where do you want me to start? SEC or Big Ten? Because I have the pots and pans boiling.
I will chop you both up for that one.
Go ahead.
Come on. I was going to talk, I came in here and heard this nonsense. I'm trying not to cut fresh out of church, but y'all making it very, very difficult.
First off, you don't come in here calling people cornballs. Second off, you up there defending that whack-ass conference in the Big Ten. Where do you want me to start in the Big Ten or on thorough teams? Like, Indiana finally had a good season in 50 years. Iowa plays good until they play a – Iowa plays good until they play a good team. Michigan State, horrible. Michigan, horrible. Minnesota, mediocre. Nebraska. Nebraska, horrible. Northwestern, they'll play good until they play a good team. Ohio State is
the
cream of the crop. Penn State now looks horrible. Purdue, horrible. Rutgers, horrible. Wisconsin, cream of the crop. There's two teams. What am I kidding you about? Wisconsin? I mean, on Rutgers? Rutgers is good?
Are you kidding me? Hold on a second. Hold on a second. I'm about to pull over and get my stats out. First and foremost,
I want to ask you a question. How is it that Jim Harbaugh gets a contract extension?
The worst four season run in Michigan history. This dude got
a contract extension.
That's unacceptable.
It is. He's an alumni. I do not condone the actions of Michigan giving Jim Harbaugh a contract extension. That was stupid. But as a Penn State fan, I applaud it because that means we can whip they behind a couple more years.
I mean, listen. They're in Happy Valley. They're in Ohio. They're in Wisconsin. The happiest people. When they heard that news, they were clapping. I mean,
Hold on, Barry. Right, yo, listen, hold on. Okay. Now, I'm like, I'm going to go back to the fun, but I want to, like, be serious a little. This is for, like, 10 seconds. I want to be serious, right? You mean to tell me, and I'm looking at America as of 2020, 2021, right? I don't like to talk about people losing their livelihood or their job, right? The way that he's been coaching that team is not deserving of him to get extended. What do they need to see? He's continuing them losing to Ohio State. He can't win the big games with Michigan. And you gave him a contract extension until 2025? So he has four more years to do this? Like, okay, you can fire him at any given time in those next 4 years, but it's looking like more than likely he can do whatever he wants. He can go outside butt naked, and they won't do nothing to him without the entire mitten of Michigan. Like, they won't do nothing. They have to accept that? Like, you must be out of your mind. And then, back to the fun part, Barry. He just helped ice the cake for us. He called us cornballs and said the same stuff we saying. He just said the same thing. Said it was good for us, but I said we could kick their tails some more out of Penn State. Are you out of your mind?
Exactly.
I didn't even talk about Illinois. Illinois is garbage with Lovie Smith there. Oh, your quarterback is Rex Grossman. You don't even know who your quarterback is out there, Illinois. Like, just get out.
Lovie Smith ain't there no more.
He's gone. They relieved him of his duties. Listen, top to bottom, the Big Ten is just not as strong as it used to be.
They're crappy, top to bottom.
You're crazy.
Listen, it's hard to base it off of this year because of everything that happened with COVID and everything. But outside of Ohio State, there's no team that really scares me. Wisconsin had such a terrible year when they were supposed to be one of the better teams. And a lot of that was with COVID, a lot of the games that they got canceled and everything. But, you know, Wisconsin doesn't scare me. Iowa is a team that is good in conference. They step out of conference, they kind of get exposed a little bit. But from top to bottom, the Big Ten is just not as strong.
Lovie Smith just got fired 28 days ago. So he was the coach of this team this season. Like, I knew that part. So Lovie Smith was running the show.
Styles make fights, right? So in the SEC, obviously you got Bama, you got Florida, and then what?
Georgia, Texas A&M.
Texas A&M is not that good.
Stop.
What?
They were the first team out.
Wait, stop.
They were the first team out
right now. Stop. Stop.
Come on, that's not come on. Now that's a little. You've got to be a little realistic. They were the first team out of that playoff. Come on,
serious? You mean the popularity contest? That's what you mean, the popularity contest?
They were the first team out. They were the fifth-ranked team.
The popularity contest. Because the thing is, Barry, if you look at the Final Four, did Notre Dame belong in there?
No.
Okay, so they were those.
You know what? Yes, they did, but no, they can't play with those teams. That's my answer.
My point exactly. Notre Dame had no business being in this conference. Had nobody being in the playoffs. No business.
But that was vanity. That's because they're Notre Dame, and if you put them in the game, you get the ratings.
So again,
and they had one loss this year.
So the fact that you use the first team out as justification is pointless, because all we know is that the Final Four, not top 10, is a popularity contest. Alabama's going to always find his way in there. Ohio State's going to always find his way in there because they're a big name and they put butts in seats and money in people's pockets.
Yeah, but they also were unbeaten. They were unbeaten. They won their conferences. So, I mean, that's not a relevant argument. Texas A&M was a one-loss team.
Texas A&M didn't need to belong in there. I would have put Florida.
What do you mean?
They
lost only one game to the team that's playing in the championship game. One of the better conferences in the league, in the country. Come on, serious?
Styles made fights, bro. No reason that Texas A&M.
What team would you have put ahead of Texas A&M?
They got their doors blown off
in the championship game.
The reason why Florida got their doors blown off in the championship, because nobody flipping played. Their quarterback didn't play. Everybody who was draft eligible declared for the NFL draft. They wasn't going to play that game.
Florida, serious? They beat them.
They didn't beat Florida week one.
That was week three. Week three. And then Florida lost a bad game at home versus LSU before they got beat by Alabama. Come on, Florida? Really?
Again, Florida should have been
That's a bad job out of you. That's a bad job out of you, serious. I expect better from you. That's a bad job.
Barry, if you want to beat Thanos, this is who you recruited? This is who you recruited? You want him to be a bad guy with you and he bringing you this stuff? This is absolutely
better. I have faith in shit. Sirius could be a villain. He's the villain. I'm the villain. But he's got
to
be
He went to church on you.
Be
he went to church on you, Barry. He went to church. He has faith. No, so you can't be a bad guy going to church. Look at him.
I keep it a buck with you. Chuck Florida in there.
No way. Not the way that they lost
baby.
And Barry, look, no way. And the way that Barry iced the cake, they lost to LSU after LSU lost everybody. And they lost in the swamp. They didn't lose Baton Rouge. They lost in Gainesville. You must be outside of your mind. I don't know what happened.
Oregon or USC ahead of them, and I would have gave you a better argument. You can make a better case than Florida. Come on, Florida. Come on.
I couldn't have. I mean, honestly, that LSU loss was a bad loss. The LSU loss was a bad loss. But at the end of the day, I think that Florida would have played significantly better than Notre Dame.
I'm going to do this right now, right? There's 14 teams in the Big Ten. How many are thorough in the Big Ten?
I'll say five of them.
And the five would be what? I'm gonna be fair with you. We'll say Ohio State be number one. Wisconsin will be two, right?
Yeah. Before we get there, are we talking about this past year or just in general over the past 10 years?
If we're talking about last year, it's only two teams.
Last year.
And it'd be Northwestern. It'd be Northwestern and Ohio State.
Northwestern and Ohio State. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. So now we're gonna go. So it's Ohio State, Wisconsin, Iowa.
Iowa's a premier. I'll give you Iowa.
Iowa, you got to put in there. You got to put Iowa in there.
Yeah, but here's the thing about Iowa. Every time they play that big game at the end of the season, or if they're off to a 7-0 start, they lose that game at week 9 when they play that ninth game. And it's like, yo, they lost again. It don't even matter if it's at home or on the road. They'll lose a game that they have to win to keep running the table, and they fall off all the time. But I put them in this top 5. I put Iowa in your 3. That's 3. So give me the other two. Mm-hmm. Northwestern.
No, not Northwestern.
Right. I don't believe in Northwestern either. Like
Northwestern.
This is a fluke year to me with Northwestern.
Here's a quick question. If you have a top 5, you only have 5 teams in the Big Ten over 500.
Oops. Right.
And
it's 14 teams in the Big Ten. It ain't 10 teams no more. It's 14, right? So he didn't include Northwestern, right? So then what? You're gonna put Penn State there?
You're
gonna put
Minnesota? No. Michigan. Over the course
Michigan?
Of 10 years or something like that.
God.
Over the course of 10 years, are you kidding me? Look at the statistics, Thomas. Look at the statistics. I mean,
wait, hold on. You said over a 10-year span.
Over a 10-year span. If you just want to hop on here and just bang your drum and try to pump your chest out, we can do that. But if you look at the numbers and look at the records, what is Jim Harbaugh's a cornball coach and he loses to Ohio State and Penn State, but over the course of 10 years, he's put together some winning seasons, okay? Penn State, again, last year excluded, we've had an 8-plus win season the past 10 years. If you look at what Ohio State's done, you know, they are the cream of the crop. If you look at what these other schools have done, I mean, I can make a case for Michigan State before they fired their coach. I can make a case for a couple other squads. But at the end
Michigan
of the day,
State,
if you
boys, please. No, you can't. No, you
Michigan
can't.
State
not Michigan
is
State.
One of those teams
that plays big in one game a year.
Not
for, look. Right, they'll fill a shock value game out one game of the season, right? And you said Michigan State, like, these dudes are finishing over 500. These dudes have been losing even since D'Antonio was coaching. D'Antonio ain't even there no more. And the Michigan situation, yeah, you said 10 years ago, these dudes for the past 23 years have beaten Ohio State like 4 times. Like
okay,
4
so,
times.
So
they're pulverized. Wait a minute. In a rivalry that they say that this is the best rivalry in college football. Not even in the Big Ten in college football, Ohio State is annihilating them. Even in the point where, three years ago, Michigan had the best-ranked defense in the league because they were playing in the Big Ten and shutting Big Ten teams down. They play Ohio State. Ohio State damn near put up 70 points on them. And the Michigan team cried on the field because they lost so bad.
Right.
You've got to be kidding me. That was overrated. Those numbers were overrated.
So let me get this straight. Ohio State beats Michigan State. That's one game. Michigan State, Ohio State has Michigan's number, and that totally excludes the rest of the work that they put in for the rest of the season. That's the part as stupid as you say.
And you're gonna sit on that one loss. No, I'm not letting you do that. I didn't cut you off.
That's about as dumb as me trying to tell you, you know what, Miami had a tough game for Clemson, but because Miami always gets their ass beat by Clemson, they're not a decent squad. But for one game, one weekend, one time, they get their behind beat, but that totally excludes the rest of the work they put in the rest of the year. That's how stupid you sound right now.
Now you want to know how stupid you sound? You think Michigan State went 10-1 all these fucking seasons? You must be out of your mind. You got me cursing now because you calling somebody dumb. You sound dumb saying Michigan is good in a 10-year span. You must be out of your mind thinking Michigan is doing something like these dudes are threatening to get to a national championship. The last time they were national championship relevant, Charles Woodson was in college in 98, and I was in high school. I've been out of high school for 21 years. You are out of your mind With that dumb shit coming out of church. Listen, get it together.
Wait, hold on. Michigan was relevant 2 years. 2 years. That was the big 1-2 game against Ohio State. I think that was 2004, 2005. And then when Harbaugh had his doors blown off at home against Ohio State, that was the 2 years Michigan was a national championship threat late in the season. Two years.
Listen. 5 out of 14 is under 50%. That means it's failing. If it was 50%, it'd be failing. If it was 60%, it's below average. If it's 70%, then we can say they're average. If it's 80%, they're good. If it's 90%, they are good. If it's 100%, they are good. They are not good.
No way.
He tried to squeeze Michigan and Michigan State in there. Are you out of your mind? It's drugs. I'm not watching them do this. Say no to drugs, people. Say no to drugs. I'm not watching that happen again. No. And then clearly try to throw the LSU, the SEC under the bus. Like, what? You tell me what this is. What's happening here, people? I don't get it. I don't get it. All right. So I guess if we're calm now.
So, what else are we talking about? Playoffs.
Look, where did we come from with this? Like, I think you're talking about the national championship, and then it just. I let him in because he let me know. I'm up here running, trying to get this out because I'm trying to come up with topic after topic and not looking at the switchboard. Mm-hmm. And he hit me up the same way you did, so I had to get him in here. So I'm going to get to the games of yesterday and today, right? So,
yep.
What happened? He hung up. Okay, so he's back. All right, so we got him back.
Take it easy on me because I didn't watch a lot of the games yesterday. I watched a little bit, but for me, I was celebrating.
Listen, hold on. I'm going to vent. I'm going to go crazy right now because I'm going to vent, right? Jump on the magic carpet and you could join, Aladdin and company, Jasmine, and I'll show you the world. So, listen, the Buffalo.
I can show you the world.
Okay, look. So the first game, right? Then I said I'm about to go crazy, right? So I'm not gonna lie. Josh probably the one quarterback with the offensive tools that could compete with Kansas City. I think that could be a legit AFC championship game, right?
Absolutely.
Indy did everything that they could to get back into this game. Shout out to Indianapolis' defense to slow that offense down in the fourth quarter. It's like they finally stepped up mm-hmm. to try to pull this together. Now, for City, I know I'm going to end up making these two mad, but I don't care, right? I sit up here and watch bullcrap Matthew Stafford do the same stuff that happened in this game, right? In which these are downs you need, right? Phillip Rivers gets these guys to the 50, right? In the first down play, he throws a ball in the dirt. So I'm like, okay, that happens. Second down, he throws a ball to the stands. And it's like, you need this to happen. Third down, he throws a ball to the stands. It's like, wait, hold on. You didn't try to complete a pass at all. So it's fourth down. 4 seconds on the clock, Hail Mary time, and then you already know the probability or percentage is what's going to happen. Either it's going to get batted down or picked off, or they'll luckily come down with the pass, which I consider each of those moments like 25% apiece, and it got picked off. You know what I'm saying? And the percentage was in favor of Buffalo. And it's like this is the big question mark around Phillip Rivers. Like, it's always something. Either he'll throw a late game pick, and I'm not including that pick for the Hail Mary because that was going to potentially happen, right? But mm-hmm. you can't get this thing like you're not coming up with the big play, and you have the pieces. That dude Doyle was a mismatch at the tight end position. Allie Cox was a mismatch at the tight end position. And while you got Pascal and T.Y. doing a thing in his office, all of a sudden it just fell asleep at the midway point of the field right now. Like, granted, it was a good game. I'm selling this like it's not a good game. That was a great game. 27-24 was the total score. Buffalo did their thing to advance. I'm not taking anything away. And to be honest, right now, Stephon Diggs looks like probably one of the most unguardable receivers in the league. He's looking like it right now. But I'm not thrilled with the way that game ended. And Phillip Rivers, if this is the way your career ends, just think about the way you had four incompletions to end your career. You didn't even throw a completion in a series where you could have tied the game or won the game. That's how you want to end your career, leaving L.A. / San Diego to go to Indianapolis to get into a first-round run, and you crap the bed? I don't know, right? So, seriously, if you want to add to that game before I go into another one, because I'm going to rant on all three of these games, I feel a certain way. So,
yo, honestly,
do you want to say something?
I mean, I can jump on this. I kind of agree with you for a little bit. You know, Buffalo, in my honest opinion, escaped yesterday. And I guess that's what you got to do in these playoffs. I mean, not every win's going to be pretty. You're not going to be blowing teams out by a million. But at the end of the day, you know, when the Colts got the ball back and they were moving the ball, you know, like you said, T, they got to the 50-yard line. And then I'm not too sure who was calling plays or what, but you needed literally 20, 25 more yards sort of to kind of get yourself into you know, legitimate field goal range. And you just, you know, the play calling there was questionable. But, again, I've never been a Phillip Rivers guy. I can't stand him. I think a bunch of bad things about him. I just don't think bad. I just don't like the guy. This dude has more kids than he has playoff wins.
And you know what? It's funny. That is true. That's the funny thing is it's true. I think he has more kids than playoff games.
He had a couple of runs. He had a couple of runs with the Chargers. He got into the playoffs a couple of times.
Yeah, but his record in the playoffs is 5-7. I mean, and I think he has 12 kids. No,
I think it's 11.
No, he doesn't.
Cole Marty's that bad. Cole Marty has 17.
Yeah, no. We gotta be fair. No women, no children. Just like Tony Montana said, no women, no children. But
right,
you know.
Right.
At the end of the day, gentlemen,
like I almost expected Phillip Rivers to find a way to throw up on himself in these big moments, because that's been how his career has gone. You know what I'm saying? He is the best at almost. You know, he's the best at it. Like, they come so far and then something would have happened. I almost expected him to throw a pick there or something like that. Or the fumble that got overturned that was actually a fumble, I expected that. You know what I'm saying? So it's unfortunate. But the Bills have some significant questions to answer going forward. Obviously, Stephon Diggs, you know, is as good as advertised. But when your quarterback's the leading rusher, when the defense cannot stop the tight end, Doyle was running. Like, again, if I was blinking, Doyle would still be running.
He was still running.
Like, exactly. So I don't understand why, you know, you move away from that. And if you look forward, you know, projecting forward, you know, you have some teams coming up, Buffalo, that utilize the tight end quite regularly. You know, depending on how Pittsburgh plays, you know, they'll see Ebron and you know, 4 and 5 wides and Vance McDonald, and if they're able to advance, you know, you'll see Travis Kelce. If the Ravens, you know, move on and, you know, look with faith that you have faced the Ravens, they all throw to the tight ends, and you know what I'm saying? So you gotta figure out what's going on with your defensive, you know, situation. But the Buffalo Bills advance. It's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out, but salute to them because I want that rematch next week.
Can I chime in a little bit, TP?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, I mean, I saw some of the game. I didn't see all of it, but, I mean, I agree with you. Listen, first of all, congratulations to the Bills. I mean, it's their first playoff win in, you know, I think in 6 tries, the first home game since, like, you know, we were in high school, like before high school in 95.
Yeah, 93. 90, was it 95? 90, I thought it was
95.
So
You know, Bills Nation is a great fan base. I was glad that New York, the state of New York, let some fans into the stadium for that game. They definitely deserved it. But I agree with you guys. Listen, can the defense travel? Can they stop tight ends and people over the middle? Can that defense travel on the road and make some plays? Because that's going to be tough for them. But, you know, Philip Rivers, we might have seen his last game. Respect him as a quarterback. You know, but I think at 39 years old, it's going to be hard for him to come back. I don't know. I think the Colts might be able to move on. There's a couple quarterbacks out there on the free agent market that they might go after, or maybe they'll go into the draft. I think with the record, it's going to be hard to go into the draft and go for the future. So,
Carson Wentz.
What's that?
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz and Matthew Stafford. I think Stafford should go to San Francisco. I think Wentz should go
take
to Indianapolis.
Take him. I want to help him move.
I've said this. Matt Stafford is coming here to D.C.
We'll see. You know, it's not out of the realm of possibility.
I'll help him. Listen, you know how they got 2 men in the truck? 1 man in the truck. I'll help him myself. I'll come. Bell and whistle. Everything.
I mean, come on, man. You don't know what you got until he's gone, man. I know.
You're right. You're right. Look, and it's the worst part about it. It's like I know we're going to struggle. I'm looking at this, like, seriously. Like, I'm like, I know we're going to struggle without him, but I'd rather rebuild and do it without him. There's one stat that's around him that will not leave him against winning teams that are over 500. He is, like, 17 and, like, 98, dog. Like, there's no way, no. He could go undefeated. He could run the table 7 times and still couldn't catch that number. Still, he could not catch that number. Like I don't care what everybody. Oh, he got a great arm, and they love Stafford. Oh, he got balls and still. Shut up. I'm tired of all of that. He come out here and play. Dog sat out because he got kicked in the ankle, and they came back the next week. Stop. The last year he had a broken bone in his back, and he sat out for the remainder of the season. And he's up here standing on the sideline. If you got a broken bone in your back, you should be sitting somewhere at home drinking hot cocoa. You up here standing on the field with a headset or throwing up gang signs. I do not want to hear that. I do not want to hear it. Full of crap. Get him out of Detroit. I don't care if it's me. I have a white truck with black writing that says 1 man in a truck. Now, back to where we were.
You know, I'll just say real quick, you know, a lot of Giants fans were, you know, hating on Eli and all that stuff. But, you know, once he left, you lost that guy that was always there taking the snaps. I mean, never got hurt. 2 Super Bowls. It's hard to find a quarterback in this league, and it's hard to find a good one. So I'll just say that. But listen, Buffalo, they're a dangerous team. They're a team. Hey, listen, if any team in the AFC can play with Kansas City, I think it's Buffalo. I thought it was Pittsburgh, maybe a month or two ago. But watching this Buffalo team get better and better every week, Josh Allen, MVP candidate. I mean, we got to put respect on his name. In his third year, it's like night and day from his first year to second year, his third year, the leaps that he's made. And it helps having Stephon Diggs back there. But he's amazing. He's playing some good football, not just a running threat now. Now he can throw the ball from the pocket. Got a brilliant arm, one of the better arms in the league. This is a dangerous team that I think you don't want to, you know, tangle with in the playoffs. They can make a serious run.
Okay, so serious left. So I do have his picks for the game. So the next game that we had was the Rams and the Seahawks, right? And the Seahawks lost this game at home up against a Rams team who just lost to the Jets. There's no excuse for this.
Yep.
There's no excuse for this, especially with Russell Wilson coming out and saying that he was the best quarterback in the league, right? And he was—he didn't look good. Russell Wilson looked bad, and he threw a pick six, and the pick six was read so clean. It looked like the way that pick six looked, it looked exactly like the Super Bowl when they should have ran the ball with Marshawn.
Yeah,
he threw the pass and got picked. Williams stepped in front of DK Metcalf and went straight to the house. Like, he read that route so clean. The blocker, and this is funny, the lead blocker for that pass screen, did not pick up the corner, and that's the same thing that happened in that crossing route at the goal line once again. And it basically was a situation once they scored that touchdown, that was the difference, even though they lost by 10. And Russell, like, even though I know you don't have that many pieces around you, these are the questions that you have to answer now. Like, these are questions you have to answer to a Rams team who started the game without Jared Goff. They had the backup got hurt. They brought Jared Goff in, and Jared Goff didn't have a great game. Jared Goff did not play one of these knockout games, and you lost at home. I'm shaking my head. Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, I can't even really call that defense Legion of Boom, even though that's what they were known as, but they lost so many pieces of that defense. I'm questioning that loss. That's big. And then the last game was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers going into Washington and winning this game by 8. Mm-hmm. And then, crazy enough, the same scenario that happened in the Indianapolis game up against Buffalo happened the same way to the Washington football team, in which the Washington had the ball last and could not complete a pass. And even though it was the backup, and he did a great job, Taylor Heineke, if I'm butchering the name, please forgive me. they couldn't run a good route, and the last play went to Logan Thomas, who was a tight end with the Detroit Lions last year. Just because he's 6'6" and he's an open target, they tried to force him a ball on a 4th-and-21. He's double covered, and they did, you know, the ball fell to the ground, and they couldn't complete that pass, and they sent the pressure the right way. But he did what he could to try to get the ball there. But it's like, just like it was said before, like the play calling is just so terrible. When you need these completions, you got to come up with a package that you know that the defense can't guard it. They can't do nothing with it. And it's like they're running stuff to just, like, get it out the way. The throwaway plays to me. Washington could have tied this game if they wanted to, because they got downfield easily to score that 23rd point. They did that easy. So, I'm shaking my head at the efforts on basically all three of these games. Indianapolis, I'm shaking my head, especially at you, Phillip Rivers. And Seattle, I don't even know who to pin this to more, to Russell Wilson or Pete Carroll. But for the Rams defense was, they were lights out. I can't take away what the Rams defense did.
Yeah,
so I have to give them credit, because Aaron Donald, on the low, is my favorite defensive player in the league. It's between him or one of the Watt brothers, J.J. or T.J., but T.J.'s outplaying J.J. right now. But they did a great job up against Russell Wilson. For you to call yourself the best quarterback in the league at the beginning of the year to end the season like this, please step it down, because you never were cocky. You never were cocky. You turned cocky this year. And Washington, boy, in this draft that's coming up, they are getting a quarterback. I don't care what's happening. I know Alex Smith didn't play, and he has the best story in football right now, but for them to not be prepared, they had two quarterbacks sitting up there trying to pump each other up outside of Alex Smith. Ron Rivera, you got to get this together. I love your story, too. You have one of the better stories in football, too. You got to clean this up. Got to.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm looking at Seattle. They didn't show up. They didn't show up to play this game, and Russell Wilson had a bad game. I think the back half of the year, he hasn't really played good football. He's kind of been inconsistent. As the defense has gotten better as the weeks went on, when they got Adams healthy, they got Dunlap. I thought that was a great trade for them. I still think they need another piece or two, but on defense. But I think their defense got to the point where they could make some stops and make plays, and they didn't do it. Russell Wilson kind of put them in bad positions with some, you know, there were some turnovers and what have you. So, listen, you know, Russell, I think he has to own this. I think that loss is on him at home. The Rams are a maddening team. They can beat any team in this league. I mean, really, with that defense and the way that their offense, if it's clicking runs, they can play with any team in this league. Then you have the games where they don't show up against the Giants, barely win at home. They go on the road against the Jets, lose. They're a maddening team to watch, and they're a frustrating team to root for, because you don't know which team's going to show up. If this L.A. team that played yesterday shows up in the rest of the playoffs, look out. Because you said it, Aaron Donald's the best defensive player in the league, and he is a nightmare to block. You can't block him. You just literally can't block him. You know, they have the corners to play with, the line. They are a great defense. And if they show up to play, they can, like I said, they can play with any team in the league. On the other side, I watched a little bit of the Washington game, Washington football team in Tampa Bay Bucks. Tom Brady made the throws he needed to make. I thought the turnovers, I think losing the running back kind of hurt them a little bit. I think once they got Fournette into the as well. But Tom Brady, gets another W in the playoffs. He looks like he's going to be able to make a little run. They got the receivers and everything. It's just going to be, they have the line to keep him upright. I think there's teams that can play with him in the NFC, but they're a dangerous team in the NFC as well. So, Washington, you're right. Washington needs a quarterback. I think the worst thing to happen to Washington is making the playoffs because now they're probably out of that realm to get a quarterback unless they trade up. I think they have to go the free agent route. I like Stafford's an interesting character. I like Cam. I like Cam for them and maybe another maybe I don't think they're going to get Wentz in conference, but, I think they definitely need to hit the free agency / trade waiver wires and make a move and see if they can get a quarterback. But hats off to Washington, Juan Rivera, battling cancer, coming back, and coaching his team into the playoffs. There's a lot to be proud of in Washington, but definitely they got some work to do.
Okay, so we are a little under 10 minutes left, right? We have the three games. I'm going to extend it as much as possible. But, so first we have Baltimore versus Tennessee. In the words of Sticky Fingers on the movie Next Friday, it's the rematch, fool! So it's Baltimore and Tennessee going at it. And this was the game that made me mad last year because there's a lot of people in this NFL that don't like Lamar Jackson. And I'm not a Raven fan, but I am a Lamar Jackson fan. And that team let him down in this game because he was hitting these guys in their numbers and in their stomachs. And these dudes were dropping passes left and right on him. And Derrick Henry took advantage like no other. And Tennessee crept up out of Baltimore with a win. Now, as the scene changes, it's in Tennessee. And Baltimore has everybody looking at them like if he don't win this and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens don't win this game, the question will remain is he can't win a playoff game because he's lost every playoff game that he's been in since he's been in the league. And I think it's fair because he doesn't have that many options in his passing game, but we'll see. So, Barry, who do you like in this game and why?
It's tough, man. These are two teams that are like they're built to beat each other. Pretty much. I think more so Tennessee than the Ravens, but it's a tough game with them. I like the Ravens in this game. I think Tennessee. I wouldn't be surprised if Tennessee won. I think Tannehill doesn't get enough credit for what he's doing at 32 years old down there, kind of reinventing his career and being not just the guy that hands the ball off and makes the safe throw. I think he's making a case to be up at, in MVP talks. I mean, it's kind of crazy to think about it, but I don't think he's an MVP, but, I mean, the guy he needs to get a little bit more credit. But, listen, I think the Ravens show up. I think Lamar does everything in his powers to get them the win. I think he figures out a way to get them the W. And it starts with the run game. I think the difference from last year to this year is the fact that Tennessee's defense isn't as good. So I think, Tennessee can be had on the defensive side of the ball, and I think Lamar and that team is going to run the ball, and try to keep that team off the field, that Tennessee offense off the field. And I think you're right. I mean, other than Andrews, there's no passing weapons on that team. I like Brown, but they need a big receiver. They need to make a splash and get a real receiver that can help Lamar. Now, Lamar's not one of the better pocket passers, but he can make some throws if you give him time. So, I think you got to find the right receiver to complement him. But I think for this game, I think the Ravens can get it done.
Just like you said, I'm a Hollywood Brown fan, but he's only a deep threat to me or speed route, like he's fast as ever. But Mark Andrews is their go-to. Those defenses know how to load up against him, and Vrabel knows he's a part of the Belichick tree. I'm going to go with Tennessee because that run game with King Henry – I am a diehard Derrick Henry fan. I can't even lie. And I was just in Nashville about a week or two ago. They are playing off of a momentum of people dying of a bomb in the middle of that town, especially with the rage of this country going on, and they're right by there. I think everything is on the Titans' side for them to win this game, and especially happening in their hometown of a bomb ravaging that city. Nashville needs to rebuild.
Nonsense in Washington can make us forget what happened in Nashville. You're so right. I totally forgot about that.
That's why I like to feed you. See, this is what good guys do. They feed even the bad guys on their birthday. So this is what I'm going to do. We're split. He's going Baltimore, I'm going Tennessee. The next matchup, is there anybody in this kitchen that believes the Bears could beat the Saints in that dome?
Yes, I believe the Bears will lose. Oh, wait, you said the Bears could beat the Saints. I thought you said my fault.
You don't
walk into the playoffs, what, six straight losses and back into the playoffs and think, I don't even know if it's six. Who cares? They stink. They're terrible. I mean, you know, they need a quarterback in the worst way. I don't know. They have to hit the wires and get a quarterback, get a real quarterback. I don't care if you have to do with Nick Foles. I don't know if you can trade for Deshaun Watson. I don't know what you got to get a quarterback. You need to get a real one because whatever they're getting in there is not the answer. But let's move on to the Saints. They're a better team. Drew Brees starting maybe his last playoff run. They got to get it done. They have had, the last three, 4 years of where they should have been deeper in the playoffs, if not the Super Bowl, and something has happened. Either, bad luck or them not making the plays. But it's time to get it clicking. I mean, they got the weapons on offense. They got Kamara. They got, Kent Gardner. They got what they need. They need to get it done. They have to get it done.
I'm not going against you at all. I'm going Saints. I don't even need to build off of that. Only way they have a shot in this game is Trubisky plays a flawless game. He has to play a flawless game to make this a competitive game for them to steal this to New Orleans. And I'm going to say this. Saints, if you lose this game, one, it is Drew Brees' birthday this week. It's somewhere in the first week of January that he just had a birthday. Two, if he loses again in the playoffs, he might as well retire because his magic is gone. His magic is gone. And three, the defense, I would question New Orleans Saints defense until they get to a Super Bowl, period. Because they keep messing up in the postseason. Some odd reason, the Saints defense, they just lose their mind. I don't know what happens. And lastly, Cleveland or Pittsburgh in the AFC North playoff battle now. Now the playoffs are on the line, Barry. And then a plug, a closeout as well. And to give you Sirius's picks, he had the Titans, the Saints, and the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, I think the fact that the Browns barely beat the Steelers last week with, as healthy as they're going to be, and the Steelers kind of sitting everybody, I think it kind of gives the edge to the Steelers. I like the Steelers in this game. I think, I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns pull it out. I mean, it's going to be a tough, that third game in the division's a charm. It can go either way. You usually throw the first two games out the window. But the Browns are a great story. They're one of the better running teams in the league. Play action, pass, and rollout has been a godsend to Baker Mayfield. If the Steelers don't stop the run, they're going to have a hard time chasing after Baker on the rollouts and getting after these receivers. But I think the Steelers can do enough. It's going to be a close game, but I think they'll do enough to win.
I agree. It's in Pittsburgh. The Steelers have to win this game. If Cleveland beats them, one, this story could go two ways if Cleveland wins this game. One, you have to give Baker his respect, period. Period. And I would love for James to try to squeeze in his kitchen and tell him he's top 22 again because I would rip his head off.
Please don't
rip his head off. And two, Pittsburgh loses this game after damn near going undefeated on the season. They'd have a lot of questions to answer, including Ben, and Ben is one of my favorites in the league. But for them to fall apart, him being the leader in the season that they had, there's way too many questions. I'm a big Mike Tomlin fan and supporter for him being an African-American coach. But if he loses this game, I wonder what they would say or where they would turn at the end of the day. All right, so we are at the latter part of the show. I need a plug, close out, anything that you like to promote, birthday boy. and let's get ready to watch these games.
And, you know, listen, thanks for bringing me in. I love chopping it up with you. You know, listen to the Cookout Wednesday, you know, on all streaming. You know, people tell me, hey, you know, I caught the show on Apple or I caught the show on Google. So, yeah, we're on all streaming devices. We post on YouTube. You know, we're just around. Find us. We're around, working on some things, doing some things, but I'm not going to plug it until it happens. You know, listen, we're doing big things, and you know, on the 40, so. But, you know, we'll be talking again, DB. You know, we'll have fun. Listen, you know, after these playoff games, then we have to talk. Who's gonna land the Sean Watson? Because it don't look like he's gonna be in town much longer. They're disrespecting that boy down there. Oh, Lord have mercy. But you know, we'll talk about it. It'll be fun.
Send him to Detroit. But they saying right now, and it's that you said that because I just got a little link right now that said that he wants to go to Miami. So that'd be interesting in itself. And it's like Tua's there, Fitzpatrick is there. Why do they want you there? So it's funny what the GM would have to do to make that happen.
25 years old and MVP candidate.
We will see how that pans out. Like I said, if they want me to, Michigan, I don't know where he is, but if y'all need somebody to help him move, call me at 203. Okay, so Sports City, you already know how this go down, man. And with my pick, I'm going, I don't know if I gave him, but like I said, Tennessee. Of course, we all going Saints unless Chicago pulls out a scare the year. And I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. But, Baker, I'm pulling for you to pull it out just because Sirius came in here and called us cornballs. Like, you must be out of your mind trying to defend the Big Ten. And you gave me 5 teams out of 10. You must be out of your mind thinking that they're a legit conference. 5 out of 14. It's ridiculous. He got out of church with that attitude. On that note, Sports City, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. It's the villain's birthday, y'all. But I got him, man. Hell and if they don't, now they know. Dear God, I wonder, can you save me? Illuminati on my mind, song in my body. Dear God, I wonder, can you save me? Good society, trying to keep me humble. Dear God, I wonder, can you save me? Illuminati on my mind, song in my body. Dear God, I wonder, can you save me? This shit is wicked on these mean streets. None of my friends speak. We all trying to win. But then again, maybe it's for the best though. Cause when they seeing too much, you know they trying to get you touched. Whoever said illegal was the easy way out couldn't understand the mechanics and the workings of the underworld. Granted, 9 to 5 is how you survive. I ain't trying to survive, I'm trying to live it to the limit and love it alive. Life ills poison my body and used to say fuck my skills. I never prayed to God, I prayed to God E. That's right, it's wicked. That's life, I live it. Ain't asking for forgiveness for my sins. And I break bread with the lay hands, picking their brains for angles and all the evils that the game would do. It gets dangerous. Money and power is changing us, and now we're lethal, infected with the evil.